You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.
Now it is time on our Medical Monday for our weekly visit with Dr. Karen Relucio, Napa County's Public Health Officer. Welcome back once again. Good morning.
Good morning, Barry.
How are you feeling as we start this new week, middle of March?
Well, pretty good. I guess it's been, we've been going at this for a while, and I think that there's just We're looking forward to more vaccine.
Yeah, it seems to be the focus in general for a while now. As of today, there are a lot more people suddenly eligible to get vaccinated, which is encouraging to the people in that those categories. However, many people are asking questions about supply with making so many more people eligible. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, I think that those concerns are really valid because they may be eligible, but it doesn't mean we have enough supply in order to get to the groups that are eligible. We're still working on, the rest of the population that's eligible, including, those that are 65 years of age or older, the food and agriculture industry, education and childcare, and emergency services workers. On top of it all, the emergency services worker definition has increased, so they've added more sectors in the phase 1B, as well as adding those that are aged 16 to 64 years of age with underlying medical conditions.
And as I heard in at least one news report, the underlying medical conditions aspect is not something that a person has to provide evidence of or any proof of when they ask to get on a shot list?
Yeah, at this point, it's they do a test that they have these conditions. It's a large burden on the healthcare system and the doctors to attest to every medical condition of every patient that they have. That part is a large burden on the healthcare community that's already, impacted by taking care of more patients. I mean, although that surge has gone down, it doesn't mean that the patient volume for a lot of other medical conditions has not decreased. So I think the ultimate decision is to, at this point, it's going to be self-attestation and the honor system.
Yeah. And, I tend to believe most people are honest, so it should mostly work, perhaps, using that logic.
Yes, hopefully. I think, trying to build a system for the few people that try to game the system is not a good system.
Yeah.
I think that it also creates, potential situations at mass vaccination sites where you're kicking people out. It raises security issues, and it just is it's just a lot more difficult to get the work done.
Yeah.
And our ultimate goal is to vaccinate people, and I think that supplies will continue to increase in the months of April and May. So I think we just have to look forward to that at this juncture.
That anticipated my next question. I was going to ask if you see the vaccine supply stabilizing at this point. We hear how across the country we're up to like 2.2 million a day, and that is expected to continue rising. Does that translate to the local situation?
Yeah, well, at this point, our supplies are remaining flat. California has prioritize areas of California in the lowest healthy places index quartile, meaning that these are people that live in unhealthy community conditions that are disproportionately impacted by COVID-19. So they are increasing allocations to those areas, whereas the Bay Area, had gotten a lot of vaccine in the beginning relative to these other places because of Phase 1A, which are healthcare workers. So we have a lot more healthcare workers in the Bay Area than they do in the Central Valley, for example. So now they're trying to make up for the fact that they're trying to put equity into the process of allocation. So we're going to see our, you know, our allocations be flat for the next couple of weeks. And then my understanding is that in the month of April, they should start to rise.
Very good. We're talking with Dr. Karen Relluccio with our weekly look at coronavirus status here in Napa County. I heard from another broadcast, actually, and I have no reason to doubt the information, but you may be able to confirm it, possibly. Is it true that Napa is among three counties in the Bay Area with the lowest positivity rate currently?
I honestly don't know.
Yeah, that's okay. I didn't mean to ambush you with that because it sounded like I hadn't seen it anywhere else. But somebody picked apart the county by county positivity rate and mentioned that we were below 2% is what it said.
Yeah, and so our testing positivity rate is below 2%. However, our health equity testing positivity rate is more in the orange range, and our case rate is still in the red.
Okay. Good to know. And speaking of orange and red, everybody's speculating, myself included, on when we'll move tier to tier. I heard indications that it might be end of this month, conceivably, that Napa could get into the orange. Is that hopeful thinking or is that realistic thinking?
I think it's realistic. The earliest we could have gotten to orange, if this week's metrics are in the orange tier, is March 23rd. However, if we don't get to orange metrics this week and we're still in red, we still, and if next week and the week after we are in orange metrics, then we can move to orange on March 30th.
Okay. And is there anything to suggest that that something will change in that progress? Are we, you know, there are no guarantees, obviously, but we're on a pretty clear track, would you say?
Yes, we are. Our case rates, although they're in the red metric, they're getting closer to the orange range. I mean, they're in the low end of red. You know, as you know, on Friday, the range of red had changed because we reached 2 million doses in the first quartile of the Healthy Places Index. So these are, you know, the disadvantaged communities. We've hit the 2 million mark. So what they've done is to switch they've changed the framework from moving from purple to red. So it used to be if you had a case rate of greater than 7, then you were in purple. Now, they've changed it so it's greater than 10, you're in purple. And then the range to stay in red is 4 to 10. So we're kind of in the lower end of that. So we are approaching the direction of orange, but we're just not quite there yet.
Mm-hmm. Tuesday is typically the day of the week when everybody looks at the numbers and knows where we're headed next. Does that continue to be true? And is there anything to learn from numbers tomorrow?
Well, that continues to be true, and I think we'll have to see what the numbers show tomorrow. You know, we have local health jurisdictions have a way of looking at what's going on using a tool that it's not public information. It's something that we have access to know which direction we're heading. So tomorrow will be the official tier assignments that we are assigned to for the week.
Mm-hmm. There's been some number of individuals, and we hear this from people in your profession in different capacities around the state and at the national level, for that matter, who are, you know, kind of pumping the brakes once in a while, saying we still have a long way to go. Let's not get carried away. In some places, we're reopening too fast. What do you feel about the local situation, the local and regional? Now, all the counties in the Bay Area are in the red tier together. Is the reopening going too fast, in your opinion, or are we balancing things appropriately?
You know, I think we're balancing things appropriately. California has tended to be more conservative in its reopening than some other states. And I think, you know, we're watching that carefully. And I know that the whole point of the blueprint is if numbers go up, then you just slide back into a more restrictive tier.
Mm-hmm. Is it too soon to have any judgment or feelings about the addition of more in-person teaching locally? The Unified School District has essentially doubled the amount of in-person teaching. Any response to that? Any effects from that that you've seen?
So our schools have had, you know, their classes open for in-person education in a hybrid level since September. They've had a lot of experience in implementing infection control measures in order to ensure that there isn't an outbreak in the school. And what we've seen is if there's somebody who tests positive, you know, whether it is a staff person or a student, if they test positive, that cohort is dismissed and then, you know, made to be a remote learning experience. At this point, we have not demonstrated that there's any ongoing transmission at a school. And a lot of the cases that are seen in a cohort tend to come from household or community spread. So I think at this point, you know, the schools are really ready to increase their in-person learning. And, you know, they've been, had a lot of experience in how to do that. And I feel confident in their ability to do it.
Another bit of information that came out, I think I saw this last week, there was an extrapolated survey done where they took a certain sample of, and I'm not sure where they got the sample, whether it was from wastewater or exactly what they were looking at. It's been a few days since I saw the story. But in a nutshell, what they found was that 38% of the Californians that they were looking at showed antibodies, and we know that 38% of people are not vaccinated, so it's a combination of vaccination and exposure. People who have had COVID and knew it, and people who had it and didn't know it would be the assumption from that. Again, they were, you know, it's a relatively small number of samples, and then dragging that out into a look at a broader population. Does a figure like that make sense to you, epidemiologically speaking?
Yeah, I think that it does make sense. You know, I think I'm not sure like how many samples were taken of people that have had previous infection. And, you know, honestly, I'm not, you know, the wastewater, I'm not sure that it wasn't my impression they took antibodies from there. I know that they do viral testing from wastewater. Hmm. So I think I'd probably have to.
Yeah.
Maybe, Barry, send me what you're referring to,
okay,
because I'm not aware of antibody samples coming from wastewater.
Yeah.
I'm aware of viral samples coming from wastewater.
Gotcha. It may not have been wastewater samples. I was trying to remember and I didn't have it in front of me. But I will. I'll find that and I'll send it over and we'll talk about it next time around, perhaps.
Sure.
I guess.
Yeah.
Feeling like we, you know, eventually, you know, over the, as we've thought from the very beginning of this, it's just a matter of time before you have either everybody's had it or everybody's vaccinated or, you know, not everybody, but enough percentage to get to the magical herd immunity, right? And so 38 would be like a great number if that were true.
Yeah. I think you have to look at a combination of the people that were vaccinated fully and a combination of people that had infection. You know, I think what's not known is how long does the immunity last after 90 days?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's also the question is out there, once you don't detect antibodies in a person that has been infected before, it's a matter of understanding, like, are they still immune? Because sometimes, you know, detection of antibodies is not the only, it's not the only surrogate marker of immunity. That's one part of it.
Mm-hmm.
One part of the story.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very interesting. We're all becoming, you know, junior scientists through this last year, learning so much about how these things work. Dr. Karen Relluccio, our guest on the Monday show, each Monday around this time, we have a visit and get an update. So again, from where we started to close the loop, you're feeling pretty good as we start this middle of March, 1 year later?
Yeah, I think we're getting to the point where we're going to be seeing, you know, more vaccine supply. The state is going to be moving towards, you know, reopening more sectors. So, for example, you know, there's an anticipation that in April, they may be talking about, you know, outdoor sporting activities or outdoor activities where there is some gathering with, you know, of course, with social distancing and masking. So that is going to, you know, I think we're going to see a lot more changes or reopenings in April.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's something to look forward to. Thanks for wrapping up on an up note there. Thank you.
Thank you, Barry.
Okay. Talk to you soon.
You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM and KVON.com.